Here we go, third and final hour. Thank you so much for sticking around and being with us. This is our last day. We've all enrolled at the University of Kentucky. We'll be starting tomorrow.
There you go. Right.
We got hyped into it. If you missed University of Kentucky coach John Calipari with us just a few moments ago, you'll be able to listen to the entire thing on KHDK.com. Hell, we might replay the entire thing tomorrow. That guy.
I wish we had 3 hours with him. There's so much. I mean, he's a talker, obviously, but we could have got into detail on every guy.
We had him on just around 20 minutes, yeah. And I was keeping – we answered – asked him 4 questions.
Yeah. Even I just tweeted, even if he ruined ice cream for me forever, probably.
Yeah, to poop in the ice cream. That's a whole different deal.
I'll be the best ball boy they've ever had. I'll be the best team manager ever.
You're going to be the oldest one, too.
I'll be the best.
He was awesome.
Yeah. Kevin Durant's longtime friend.
Uh-oh.
Oh, yeah, it's getting good.
We're getting that
kind of source now? We're in that part of free agency.
Longtime friend, okay.
Kevin Durant's longtime friend says his decision is 90% made to stay with Oklahoma City.
But his short-term friend has a 10% different answer.
Yes. Yeah. Can I tell his longtime friend to shut up?
Yeah. Absolutely incredible.
Gravy train.
I love this stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
I love this freaking stuff. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. We'll dig back more into free agency here in just a second. Chris, we appreciate your call. I hope you're still there.
Good afternoon, guys.
Hey, Chris.
Hey.
That was a great interview you guys had with Coach Cal, man.
Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it.
So I just had a quick question for you guys. The first part of it is, what free agents is Vladdy looking at? Because the only two that I hear keep popping up is Ryan Anderson and Courtney Lee. And I feel like there's so much other free agents out there, like a Marvin Williams or Evan Fournier. Even Grant's favorite guy, Ish Smith, is still out there too as well.
Yeah,
well, everybody's out there.
Well, yeah. There's everyone's out there. Free agency starts in a few hours. We appreciate it, Chris, and we'll try to answer that right now. We don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what Vladdy's doing.
And I don't know that we'll know until maybe it actually starts where you're hearing Sacramento's interest in, but
Vladdy may call everybody on our list.
Probably should.
Who takes a meeting? Who's willing to listen? I have no idea. While we're talking about the Sacramento Kings, can we – I don't know why it took us so long to do this. Can we wish the G-Man happy birthday?
Yeah.
Oh.
My favorite. Happy birthday to the
G-Man. Wait a minute. I thought it was Jerry Reynolds' birthday the other day. No, it's –
might have been Jerry's the other day. I know it's G-Man today.
G-Man's today? Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry if we missed Jerry's birthday, but I know it's Gary Gerald's today. So, G-Man,
awesome.
Happy birthday. You are the best in the business, no doubt about that. He is not a free agent, and no teams can sign him away from the Sacramento Kings. But, Chris, back to your question. We don't know. We don't know what Vlade's thinking is. We know – we as fans know, we as radio show hosts know what their needs are.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's similar to the draft where we always hear about draft rooms and a board. So you have literally – okay, here's –
gotta be.
Yeah. And
yeah, gotta
so,
be.
Okay, like kind of plan A is here. Whoop, let's go to plan B. And you know, I think it has to be fluid, but I think you have to have a lot of different avenues where you can go.
Mike Tebow, the WNBA, used to have this really cool board in both of the teams that I've seen him coach that had – the player, the status of a player, the amount of money, and the cap that each of the teams had. So he was able to move pieces around and say, okay, they can't sign this player without moving these
this
number
player.
Of players.
Gotcha.
We can sign this player, but we have to move this number of players. What are our needs? And then he would have like a whiteboard at the bottom because these were all like plaques that you move around.
Yeah.
And then he would have a whiteboard at the bottom. So what are our needs? Point guard. Yeah, he never needed a point guard. He always had a pretty good one on his team.
Yeah.
But it'd be, you know, center or whatever the case is, and he would go team to team. Okay, this is our A group.
Right
here. This is who we go for first. Once we get through this, then we start reevaluating everything else.
Yeah.
Just like draft day.
Yes, exactly. Now we're coming around.
We're back again.
Lord, I feel disgusting even saying that. We haven't discussed Dwight Howard yet today.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He's a really unique guy. I think along the lines of Rajon Rondo, because talented player, you're almost trying to, like with Rondo, you're trying to forget certain things, right? You're trying to forget that year in Dallas.
Yes.
With Dwight Howard, you're trying to forget that sometimes he could be an idiot. Sometimes he can disappear.
Mm-hmm.
But you know somewhere there's likely a whole bunch of talent that if you can get him motivated or maybe get him around the right guys. I think of the class, I know everything is following Durant. I think Durant stays in Oklahoma City. I'm really curious where Horford lands. But in terms of – I'm really intrigued by Dwight Howard, not just by where he goes, but the amount of money that he gets. I said a couple of days ago, and I know you didn't agree, Jason, I think Golden State works for him.
Mm-hmm.
If they have the ability to offer Kevin, you talk about need. They don't need Kevin Durant, but they were hurt. As minimized as we made Andrew Bogut through the postseason, as minimal as we felt his impact was still important. They lost him, and they didn't have him for Game 7, and I think that was a problem. Even if it was just a rotation problem, not having a big man out there was an issue. Their so-called death lineup is great for portions of a game. To have to start the game like that, it didn't work either time they had to do it.
Yeah.
It puts them at a severe disadvantage because they have nothing to adjust to. That when they bring that death lineup, it's an adjustment, and then other teams can't keep up with that. So that's where they get that separation from a lot of teams. But if you have to start the game like that, then where do you go?
I like Golden State. They have the ability to pay him. Now, what does Dwight Howard get? We talked about this with Rondo. Do you do the 2-year deal with a guy like Dwight Howard and the option for a third, or maybe a 4-year deal, but really it's a 3 because you can opt out at 3? I don't know, but I like Dwight in Golden State, and if you don't go Golden State, I go the team that we've constantly linked DeMarcus Cousins to.
Boston?
Boston.
Mm-hmm. I can see that.
I can't see him in Boston.
Really?
They don't have – if he needs to be in a place where there are shooters, and they don't really have any shooters in Boston.
Why?
Because if you're going to – you can't rely on him for your low post scoring anymore.
Maybe that's what he wants.
And that's the problem. That is the problem. So if you take him to a place where he has an option to let his ego run wild – it will. But if you send him to Golden State, where he has no choice but to fall in line, he will do what they tell him to do. He won't think that he is a main scoring option. But in Boston, he'll think he is.
Let me ask you guys this. Is Golden State better off if their scenario is Dwight Howard, adding him, or keeping Andrew Bogut?
You can only do one. I'd take Dwight.
Really?
Yep.
Absolutely. You already saw Dwight. What you got with Andrew Bogut. You're like, okay, can we do better than that? I think we can.
I take Dwight. Yep.
I just feel, again, this is the most recent thing I'm thinking, and this is the most extreme example. They're in the finals again. They're playing Cleveland. They had to take Bogut out because he couldn't always handle the pick and roll. And we're talking about LeBron and Kyrie. Well, I don't see Dwight Howard playing in those situations either. And then you're paying a guy probably $20 million to, I don't know.
But when he does play, he has the ability to do so many more
things.
Yes, he does. He can be explosive.
But he's not the passer Bogut is.
True, but on those nights when maybe your shots aren't falling,
mm-hmm.
now you have a viable low post option. You can at least dump it down to 4 or 5 times to get your rhythm back
mm-hmm.
instead of just throwing up crazy three-pointers and trying to get jump shots when they're just not falling that night.
And your two scenarios are vastly different. If he goes to Golden State, it's another guy. If you go to Boston, it's kind of not the guy, but one of them.
He'll think.
Yes.
That he's supposed to be the guy.
Now he's like, okay, now I'm looking at 12 to 14 shots tonight.
Exactly. Give me the ball.
I'm assuming this is coming from a Golden State Warrior fan in response to Dwight Howard going to the Warriors. No, no, no. Hmm. Never, ever. Howard is a self-serving narcissist. I don't think that that's true. I think Howard has a terrible team around him who has not managed his free agencies in the past very well at all.
Yeah, but I feel like he's left that wake. Like, we can say Houston was a mess.
No question.
Well, then the Lakers were kind of a mess. It was a mess at the end of Orlando. Okay, is it always that, or is he part of it?
That's why I feel like it's better for him to be in a Golden State environment mm-hmm. where they've already set a standard. You can't come in there and dictate anything.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter who you are. You come in and you fall in line with that team. And I think he's, for lack of a better term, desperate.
I think that's the perfect term.
Desperate to be seen in a positive light and be in a winning situation.
Yep. I think you're dead on. I'm going to read this this text to you here, 44-11-40, and we'll discuss it more when we get back. If the Kings land Courtney Lee, Ryan Anderson, and re-sign Rondo, they will make the playoffs next season, barring no major injury. I don't even think that that's possible.
To land them all?
All
to
three
make
of
the
them.
Playoffs.
Damn, I'm not that negative. I don't think... What does Courtney Lee command?
I don't know. Weren't we guessing Anderson in the 18 to 20 range?
Yeah, and then Rondo, I don't even think you can re-sign the two of them.
Unless you go Rondo at the end, way over the cap for a 33-win team that you're hoping makes the playoffs?
Yeah, that's tough. We'll talk. Mark, we'll see you on hold. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. But there is a case for Rajon Rondo to be in Sacramento, and we'll explain that next here on The Lowdown. Thank you so much, Grant. We appreciate you. And as he mentioned, we're in the final hours leading into free agency. It starts at 9:01 our time. Everything is based around Eastern Standard Time. Everyone says 12:01. Well, for us, it's 9:01.
Because jumpstart.
Because the sun comes up. Yeah. Who care?
You mad, bro?
If the sun comes up over there.
Is that going to be like a 9 o'clock refresh all the time?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wait, it's 9:10. Come on. What's going on
here? I might even stay up tonight. I might even stay up to 9:30, which is pushing it big time for me. Hey, man, I'm kind of upset with you, though.
You're not you're not staying up till 9:30. No, there is no freaking chance you're up at 9:30.
I am not an old man.
I
beg to differ.
Let's text him and test it.
Yeah.
No, seriously? I stay up.
You're up at 2, though.
You should play my song right now. It would be great.
I'm not
come on,
doing
man.
That. No.
Come on, play my song.
We're not playing all. Stop. Stop bouncing
come
in
on.
The chair, too. It's making me uncomfortable. Knock it off. We need more staff on this show to periscope the crap that happens that people can't see. What were you just about to say?
Yeah, what are you mad at?
What are you mad at?
Because you haven't played my song. Where's my song, man?
339-1140.
You going to make me sing my song?
I kind of want to hear it.
He knows what song I'm talking about.
Sing it. Go ahead.
I'm all the way up. I'm all the way up. Nothing can stop me. I'm all the way up. That's my jam.
You are the worst.
I love that song.
You are the
That's
worst.
That's like my wake-up song. I get up, and I'm like, I'm all the way up. Let's go do
this. I can picture you doing something stupid like that, too.
Dude, if you got to get up at 2:30 every morning, you got to fire yourself up.
Yeah, I believe it. 339.
Sorry.
339-1140-100. Thank you. Oh, great. Perfect.
Hit that French Montana. Go.
Excellent. Thank you for feeding into this, young Matthew. Well done. Well done. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Mark, we appreciate the call. What's going on, man?
Hey, good afternoon, guys. You know, all this talk about, you know, Kevin Durant. You know, for one, Dwight Howard's not coming to the Warriors. One reason why is the guy is a head case. One thing that the Warriors are known for, they're known for continuity. They're known for non-egos. And that's why Kevin Durant, Steph Curry could care less if Kevin Durant scored 40 points a game. Klay Thompson could care less. Draymond Green could care less. They're all about winning games. So all this talk about that he couldn't fit in with this team, you know, these guys have no egos, and you guys never talk about it. Everybody talks about how there's not enough balls to go around. It's never been an issue in the 73 wins this year about who was scoring what. You know, you didn't see Steph Curry complaining that he was sitting the fourth quarter and he had 40 points, you know. So it's not about – you know, how many points these guys are scoring. It's about winning games and winning championships, and that's where everything gets lost in the dialogue.
Can I ask you something, Mark?
Kevin Durant.
Can I ask you something? No question that they were unselfish. Team continuity is absolutely incredible. Do you think now that they've lost in the NBA Finals, they've lost in Game 7 of the NBA Finals, you have to imagine they're not going to go for 70-plus wins again. Do you think that continuity may be shaken a little bit and guys will start to look to get theirs in this upcoming season?
No.
Okay.
No, because you know what? Who runs that team?
Draymond?
The guys at the top, Steve Kerr. You know, Steve Kerr is a very unselfish player when he played. And don't forget, Jerry West runs that program over there. Okay? Jerry West, it's all about, and that's the key to that team. And Draymond Green, you don't think Draymond Green feels bad what he did? If he didn't do what he did, they'd probably have an NBA championship, you know? And Bogut's been hurt all year. So if they're going to go after anybody, they're going to go after Marc Gasol or Paul Gasol, and they're going to go after Horford. They're not going to go after Dwight Howard.
No, and I think you know what, Mark? I think you hit the nail on the head there. I think Paul Gasol and Jason, you pointed this out a number of times. Paul Gasol is a great fit there. Mark, we appreciate the call. Thank you, brother.
All right, guys.
Yeah, I like those two fits better, but I see what you said about Howard. I just like the other two fits better. Yeah,
but what you're saying, though, I feel like in a much greater sense, once you lose, all that good vibe nonsense goes all out the window. Because when you're winning, they say winning cures everything. But once you lose,
and you know, it's
things start to change.
It's a similar thought that I had with the Heatles, right? Mm-hmm. That first year, I thought, okay, they're going to go out and they're going to win. And they're all going to be unselfish, and they're all going to say the right things. But what's going to happen when Chris Bosh takes a back seat to Dwayne Wade, LeBron James? They win the finals. He comes back the next year. He's like, hey, okay, we won. It's my let me get something now.
Exactly.
It just so happens they didn't win the first year.
Yeah.
So they had they couldn't get selfish yet because they hadn't, you know, they had made fools of themselves in the arena with the not one, not two, not three, and they weren't able to get anything. So now they had to come back the next year and be completely refocused and be better than they were the year before and didn't have the opportunity to get selfish.
It's true.
So I wonder if, okay, the Warriors won a championship, and this isn't a criticism of the Warriors, it's just I'm curious. They won their championship, they came back, won 73 games, and then lost in Game 7 of the finals.
Okay,
is it now
just,
like
not just losing in Game 7? They lost the NBA Finals in record-setting fashion.
Yeah.
Never been done like that before in the history of the game. You mean to tell me they're not going to go back in that room and
right.
be like, all right, we need to get rid of that guy. We need to get somebody else bigger than that guy.
Yeah.
We need to get somebody else on the bench to do this. They were talking about retooling that whole team as soon as the buzzer went off.
Yeah, and
right.
it's not even broken, but
yeah.
the fact that they didn't do it,
they
it's
were
not broken.
They were in the middle of a historic season and talking about adding Kevin Durant.
Yeah.
This didn't start after Game 7.
Yep.
This rumor started back at the All-Star break.
Yeah, mm-hmm. that they could actually even be better next
yeah.
year.
They were 24-1 at one point, and it was, oh, Kevin Durant is intrigued by the Warriors. Well, oh, yeah, if the team's 24-1, I'll be intrigued by him, too.
Right.
We had John Calipari on earlier. If you missed it, that interview is available in its entirety right now at KHDK.com. 339-1140. Well, obviously, we don't want you to leave us now and go listen to it. I'm just saying maybe a little later on you go listen to it. 339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Jeff, what's happening?
How are you?
Excellent. How
Jeff.
Are you, my friend?
Very good. I've heard a lot of folks defend what the Kings did last summer, and I've heard a lot of folks defend the Kings draft. And I think they can do that, but I don't think they come together as a coherent plan. Because last year, they trade away draft picks. They don't control their draft pick this year. They've given up an unprotected pick next year to the 76ers. In doing that, it really limits your ability to trade Cousins because you'll be bottoming out right around the time you don't have your picks. When they had a chance to get Moutier or Winslow, who have really good long-term prospects, they draft Stein, who's a nice player, but those guys have more upside because they wanted to win now. And they went for broke, and now 12 months later, with Cousins having only 2 years left on his contract, they draft guys who are long-term projects that can't help them now.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah, Jeff, I'm with you on the one sense. Like, I have less of a problem of drafting more centers that they did, but the draft looks like a long-term view, and everything else that they've done has been short-term. So they don't; those two plans don't match to me.
Yeah.
Well, everything they've done from last year to this year is completely diametrically opposed. I mean,
yeah.
you went last year to a coach that push, 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 run, 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 score, score, score. You bring in these free agents, we're going to make the playoffs now.
Yeah.
You flip it entirely to a coach that is defense, grind it out, slow it down. And then they even, the coach, Coach Jaeger's like, this is going to take a minute.
Right.
This is going to take a minute.
Jeff, we appreciate the call so much. We'll come back with more of the lowdown here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I love the pride in which young Matthew said that in. The home of the Oakland A's. They've beaten the San Francisco Giants for three nights, and this is the highlight of the A's season, clearly.
They haven't just beaten them. They've taken them out. They took them out to the woodshed.
They've
beaten the crap out of them.
Took them out to the woodshed.
And they made Jake Peavy lose his mind last night on the mound, which made it all worth it.
Well, the A's didn't make him lose his mind.
Okay, you're right.
The
you're absolutely right. The Giants. I'm terribly sorry.
Bears.
The defense behind him, or lack thereof.
I was sitting in Rosie's office before the show started, and he was playing the audio clips for him, and I was trying to hear how the play-by-play was for that moment when Jake Peavy is losing it, and they did not do it justice. It's just like I would have been like, holy crap, what is wrong with him right now? He is really angry.
Oh,
he is
goodness.
Tearing his team a new one.
I mean, there's so many things.
Dropping fly balls, running into each other.
They dropped a fly ball in the infield.
Yep.
Right.
When that happened, he's like, what? What is going on? What are you guys doing?
Seriously?
We're playing baseball, right?
Sean Manet's working out pretty well for the A's, though.
Yeah, Manet's been good. We talked about Mengden the other day. So they got some things going pitching-wise. Reddick's back in the lineup, but this is what they got to do, consistency. I mean, we've talked about they'll get in a stretch where they're like, wow, the A's look pretty good. And then they'll have a week and a half where you go, what's wrong with this team?
Mentioned the case for keeping Rajon Rondo in Sacramento, and we have gone over for the last 2 days this free agency list. And when you start to realize that there are guys who have players option, there's a guy like Nicholas Batum, there's no way he's getting out of Charlotte. Jeremy Lin is out there. Does that excite anybody? He's available. He's going to command money.
We talked about this. We would love him as a backup.
Yeah.
Okay, so as a backup, so who's your starter? Collison, Curry,
Leonard Collison. Then yeah, you're making one a starter,
and Jeremy Lin's going to make more than both of them.
You make a decision if you bring in Jeremy Lin, you don't bring back Seth Curry because you don't need 3 point guards because you need a top point guard.
So which one do you keep, Curry or Collison?
You keep Collison. He's a point guard
and more proven. I think you keep, like, if you got Lin was your only, like, you lost Rondo and Lin was the only one you signed, I think you have to sign Curry.
Yeah, true. Then in that situation, you're
because
right.
Then it's,
but I'm still thinking of, okay, you still get Rondo.
Yeah.
What do you think you have to pay Jeremy Lin? 7?
I don't know. I have a feeling it's going to be more.
I think you're talking 10.
It's scary, the market, which it should be what
right.
you're saying, but
right.
I feel like it's not. And that's, there was a report today, a guy, Tyler Johnson, that's on the Miami Heat, that marginal is fair to say of a player. I mean, he's fine. He's a pro, but he's probably their third guard, and they're talking about him getting $10 million.
Well, I mean,
what is going on?
Think about Alan Crabb. How many times has that name been
yeah.
mentioned on this radio station from us, from texters, from people on the phone? He made less than $1 million
right.
last year.
Yeah.
What do you think it's going to cost to get him to Sacramento?
Well, people are talking about 4 years, 64. So that's 16
Gosh
per.
Almighty.
And let's say the Kings even did that. Is he starting? Is he a 2? Is he a 3? Is he coming off the bench? He will be your highest paid player, and he's not your best.
He's, what, the fourth option in Portland?
If that. Yeah.
Come on, man.
But that's just where the market is, and you're going, are you better off doing that or finding deals? Ah, man.
Eric Gordon, anybody? I said it yesterday, Ty Lawson. You got it. You just have to be realistic with the pool that's out there.
Okay, now the Eric Gordon situation is interesting. We talked about the injuries. I mean, he cannot stay healthy. But
right.
for the 25 game stretches that he is healthy, he's pretty good.
He is good.
He's a pretty good shooting guard. He just can't stay healthy.
So that brings us back to Rajon Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't sign here, where does he sign? Well, the rumors are hot that he likes Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
If the price is right.
Right.
Well, he likes Sacramento, too.
Yeah.
If the price is right. I don't know what Brooklyn is willing to offer him. We've set an introductory price, if we're going to play the Price is Right here
yeah.
with Rajon Rondo, at $15 million. All three of us think it's going to go higher. So at what point, if you're the Sacramento Kings, if Brooklyn makes an offer and you feel like you need to make a move on Rajon Rondo, do you cut okay, you got to take that deal. Is it price or is it years? I made the argument for years earlier.
Yeah, they both concern me. If you're going in on him, I'd rather do a short-term deal.
2 years.
But I guess you have to weigh, if you're Vlade in the front office, you have to play the what if we don't get him. So what if we don't? Then what's next? Then is it Jeremy Lin? Are we comfortable with Collison and Curry and finding something else?
Right, and the problem is you can't wait.
Right.
You can't wait that long. Like you have to find out if you almost want him to take the Brooklyn meeting first.
Yeah.
Because otherwise.
Set the bar?
Yes. You end up in a situation like you were last year.
Yeah, where you set a bar that you were competing against yourself.
You paid $10 million for a player nobody else wanted.
Yeah.
But it was for a year, so that's,
I
mean,
okay.
fine.
It's fine.
It's fine for a year.
And he was pretty good. He was better than I thought he would be last year.
He led the league in assists. You talk about doing something on a contract year. He did exactly what you'd want to do if you're going to sign a one-year deal.
Yeah.
It just amounted to 33 wins.
Right.
Right. Now, while that is factual, it's inconsequential. It doesn't have anything to do with the negotiation at all.
And you know what? I came to that realization this morning when I was listening to different podcasts and I'm watching SportsCenter, and I realize I'm the only one thinking about the 33 wins.
Because yeah. they're not blaming it on the guy who led the league in assists.
Yeah.
How can you?
So how much money are you willing to invest in a guy that obviously doesn't make the team better?
Right.
He can in a different sense. You can't put it all on him. So
I'm not putting it all on him.
Right.
But we're doing the same if you think about it, because we're too close to what did Ryan Anderson win?
Sure.
He's going to get 18, 20 million.
Right.
He was on the sub playoff team. It's not all his fault, but he's on that team.
That's true.
I mean, you're right. We forget about the win total because it's what's he going to do? Well, maybe they win 43 next year. Maybe they win 13. I don't know, but it's about next year.
I think it's also not just about next year, but I really feel it's about a message and perception. Here's what I'm thinking. If the Kings can find a way to re-sign Rondo, all right, it kind of allays all those comments about that's a bad organization. Nobody wants to be there on that organization. You bring this guy back, you're like, see?
Perhaps
one of the best point guards in the NBA wants to stay with us. And so that kind of hopefully takes a step toward getting all the analysts off your back by saying it's one of the worst franchises. Nobody wants to be there. They have nothing going on. You keep Rajon Rondo. Now you've got the best. You definitely have the best center in the game, hands down. And now you have one of the top five point guards in the game on your team as well.
Mm.
I don't think he's top five.
Yeah, you don't think he's top five?
Not even close.
So you're gonna. You mean to tell me that there are four other point guards that are more effective at running the point?
Kyrie.
Running
Chris
the point.
Chris Paul.
Chris Paul, yes.
Kyrie Irving's not?
He's outstanding.
Nicholas Batum.
He's not a point guard.
Pointish.
No, I'm
Parker.
Serious. I'm
Steph.
No, Tony Parker's not better Isaiah. Than Rondo right now.
We're really playing with the point guard name.
The point guard runs
like
your
an old
offense.
School traditional point guard.
That's what
Russell
Rondo
Westbrook.
Is. Yeah. Okay, even though I don't.
Lillard.
I know you hate Russell Westbrook, but
Damian, he doesn't even know how to pass. When's the last time he had an assist, Damian Lillard?
Yeah.
So you're not talking about point guards.
We're getting questions now. If you're drinking.
Oh yeah, I'm drinking Gatorade.
But what's that have to do? What's that have to do with your comment about Rondo?
Drunk uncle
John
is
Wall.
Always telling the truth.
Mike Conley. Before we veer too far away from this,
John Wall. Absolutely.
Memphis thinks they'll re-sign Mike Conley. If they don't, looks like Dallas is going to make a hard push for him. Dallas is also pursuing Hassan Whiteside. Hassan Whiteside's little list has been pared down to Miami and Dallas, and Portland appears to have an outside chance. Chandler Parsons. Memphis is making a hard push for Chandler Parsons, as are the Los Angeles Lakers. Joakim Noah seems to be a foregone conclusion that he's going to the New York Knicks. We have no idea where Pau Gasol is going. We have no idea Harrison Barnes' status. And Ryan Anderson, Rajon Rondo, those are going to be some interesting ones. And Dwight Howard, definitely to follow. Oklahoma City's also, they're looking to clear cap space so they can get Hal Horford in.
That about sums it up.
Yeah.
Woo! We're celebrating a birthday in and one. We got that coming up next here on The Lowdown.
Oh, Lordy, no. Zika struck again. No, but seriously, though, it's a striking again. So we know about the Zika virus. It's one of the factors that's affecting the Summer Olympics coming up in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. But it is also affecting college football. Jim Harbaugh's satellite camp tour is going to be stopping or ending one day sooner than it's supposed to be. It is supposed to end up in the American Samoa, which is out there in the South Pacific Ocean, but that is also a Zika region. So Mr. Harbaugh and his wife, Sarah, their family doctor, said that he should not go there because of the Zika virus. His wife, Sarah, is pregnant and due to give birth. And so they're suggesting that neither one of them go for the health and safety of the child and the family. Zika wins again.
Yeah, too many times.
Right.
Yeah.
Do you know how many times you've covered Zika on this show?
Quite a few.
But, exactly.
Quite a few.
Can we do a quick tie-in? Michael Phelps. Did anybody here watch 1 second of swimming Olympic trials? Oh, you did. Thank God.
I love swimming.
I did too.
Yeah.
I watched significantly more
Dan
than
Hicks
1 second of it.
The games are awesome together,
yeah,
too.
It was awesome.
I have a hard time watching a sport where there's like one dominant athlete.
It's changed a little bit.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I guess.
And then Ryan Lochte lost. He was kind of the next guy in line, but he's kind of he kind of reminds me of Johnny Manziel.
Mm. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Eric, hang tight. We're going to get to you in just a second.
My N1 today, guys. Baseball tonight, final game of the Bay Bridge Series. A's have dominated so far tonight. Giants, you would figure, are the favorite because they've got their ace, Madison Bumgarner. What's interesting, though, is Bruce Bochy has elected to bat Mad Bum. The game's being played in Oakland. They have a right to have a DH. I love gimmicks. I'm all for gimmicks. I feel like this is a gimmick because Madison Bumgarner can hit. He's a really good hitting pitcher. His average is 175. That's not good. That's not good. He has 13 career home runs. He can hit a home run, but they can't find a guy that can bat 175 or better that's more valuable to be in the everyday lineup.
Have you watched the first three games of this series?
Oh. I mean, this still is a team that has 49. This is a really good team.
Yeah, what does that say to guys that hitting,
turn it around?
That hitting is their specialty, like Jared Parker and Mac Williamson.
Gillespie. Guys
Connor
that
Gillespie.
Bat every day. And it's just, I don't know. But I like it as much as I want to see it. I just feel like, it feels a little gimmicky to me. So a little strange tonight.
Happy birthday to the baddest man on the planet.
My birthday's not until October.
Look at Jason as I do this story. Iron Mike Tyson turns, believe it or not, 50 years old
Ooh,
today.
A big one.
Really?
Iron Mike.
Hey, wow.
Believe it or not, as much as I crap on the sport of boxing now, I grew up loving it.
My grandfather, because of him, huh?
Only because of him. I knew Mike Tyson long before I knew Muhammad Ali.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And, you know, being born in 1980, I watched it from his rise as heavyweight champion to his loss, to his ear biting, to his comeback, to his eating children, all of that. And I'm so happy that he seemingly has turned his life around and is in a far, far, far better place. All because a small cameo role in The Hangover.
Is that really?
He turned everything around after that movie came out.
Greatest movie ever.
Everything.
Sure. Hold on. I feel like his one-man show in the movie that Spike Lee did with that in the staging
that happened way after.
All right.
Yeah, way, way, way after.
Because his one-man show was pretty
awesome. I remember seeing, it was incredible.
It was incredible, yeah.
But that's rather recent.
Is it?
I mean, Hangover was forever ago, it seems like now. I mean, there was... Two more crappy ones that came out after the first great one. But I remember hearing about The Hangover. Oh, Mike Tyson, he's really funny in it. Like, what? And you see it. He's still fat. He still doesn't look well at all. Now, he's healthy. He's funny. He's doing... Who thought Mike Tyson would make a living doing a one-man show?
I know. It's his story, and he tells it. It's so great how he tells his story. It's amazing. But I still take issue with the whole thing. I know I'm going to get heat. I'm sorry, everybody. Hangover is not funny at all. If it's funny, repeat one funny line to me right now. I rest my case. Y'all have a fantastic Thursday. I'm stunned.
Y'all have a fantastic Thursday. I can recite quite a few lines.
Okay, give me one.
Yeah. Well, they're not. A lot of them aren't clean.
Well, the clip when I was saying I was going to play a clip of Mike Tyson earlier, it was the clip of him playing. This is my favorite part. I can feel it. And he does the air drums for Phil Collins.
You didn't like that movie at all?
Yeah, that scene doesn't come out of Boogie Nights. So thanks. Nice try.
Next. None of it.
Boogie Nights was...
There's a scene in Boogie Nights when the guy goes off on Sister Christian. He's like, wait. Here it comes. You don't remember that?
Vaguely.
Yeah, it's a huge...
You mad about everything, dude.
No, I swear.
You find a happy, happy birthday moment and you ruin it being mad.
I wasn't mad.
Are you mad? It's just like the intro says. You mad, bro?
I say raise your standards.
Eric, close this out, please. Eric, you're on, my man. You got to close us out today. What do you got?
Kyrie Irving, Russell Westbrook, Chris Paul, Dame Lillard, John Wall, Kyle Lowry, Isaiah Thomas, Kemba Walker, maybe even Jeff Teague. And, oh, yeah, the guy that Jay Williams left off his graphic was Steph Curry. I heard you guys last segment talk about Rajon Rondo as one of the best point guards in the NBA.
Not you guys.
I said he's top five. I said he's top five because three of the guys you mentioned have not had an assist in 3 years.
Which guys are that? Kyrie?
Damian Lillard does not pass the ball, and you know it.
He's a better point guard, though. Come on. He's
not a better point guard. He's a better guard.
Okay, yeah. But I know where you're going. But before you guys did the new show, and obviously the original halftime show.
Oh, dear God.
It was always me calling in talking about there are two things about Rondo. Deuce is always on this. The selfish assist, where he's always looking for the assist, one. But also the Kings were, I believe, number one in pace last year. Pace doesn't mean points per game, but more possessions, more plays. They had more chances for assists, and as I just said, he was looking for assists. I don't know if he's the reason they lost any games, but they won 33 with him. He led the league in assists. I don't see how he's going to get any better. If he's already leading the league in assists and you win 33, you got to get someone else in there. He's a horrible defender. He's, again, a selfish passer. I don't think Rondo's worth anything what they're going to offer him. He's not a, quote-unquote, top five, top 10 point guard in the NBA. That's just a fallacy. All right, guys.
Appreciate you, Eric. That's one thing we didn't discuss at all, actually.
What's that?
His defense.
Oh, because there's not anything to discuss.
But there aren't a lot of point guards that play defense in the first place. We have about seven texts that all say one line from The Hangover, and it's the same one. And it's making me laugh just because I'm visualizing it. It's funny because he's fat.
Oh, that one? I thought it was, well.
Screw you. That's funny.
Thanks, Bin Laden.
Oh, there's that one.
There's a lot of them.
I'm sorry. I saw the movie, and I remember being in the theater, and it was happening.
Didn't laugh?
And I did not laugh until the end credits when the elevator door opens. Do you remember that scene?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
I laughed out loud when that happened. Everything else leading up to that, I was like,
Even Ken Jeong.
Yeah, that element of surprise, the, that was, I was totally
naked
not
with
ready
the little,
for that.
Yeah, the little in the no,
I felt like I could
little,
see
the little
everything.
Twig in the bush.
Here's the thing: I felt like I could see everything happening before it happened, and
that
then I'm
one?
Like, and then I'm like, wait a minute, what happened to the groom? Where's Justin Bartha? Like they forgot him for like 90 minutes.
You know
minutes.
What movie I love that? You know what movie I hate that everyone loves? And it's almost this exact conversation. I would just replace the name with Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, I'm not really.
I think that's the dumbest movie I've ever seen.
But I feel like there are funnier lines that you can repeat from that.
No, it's just funny the way they say them. My tots, like you're messing up my tots. It's just funny the way it's said. Join Sports 1140 for Fishbowl Fridays at Republic Bar and Grill this Friday, 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. on 15th Street across from the Memorial Auditorium. Come down to win tickets to Monterey Bay Aquarium. For more info, visit KHDK.com. Jabari Davis of BasketballInsiders.com joins us at 12:30 tomorrow. Comedian Tony Roberts will be in studio tomorrow at 1:15. If you missed Coast Cal or any part of the show, you can catch it online at KHDK.com. For Jason Ross, Ken Rudolph, I'm Damian Barling. The Grant Napier Show is coming up next.
I could throw the ball over those.